This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome back into another episode of the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza alongside Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Cootie, and it is finally here, spring game week. What's the, you're a player, and this week is finally here, and you just got a couple practices left before you get to run out in front of Husker Nation again. What are the emotions this week?
Yeah, you know, the word finish gets overused a ton in college football, really in any sport. But when you talk about finishing spring strong, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. And I can remember as a player, you know, you went into spring with a plan, right? I want to get better at this, or I want to continue to improve on that, or I want to make sure by the end of spring I'm locked in on XYZ. And these are really your last couple practices to put a bow on spring and say, I accomplished those goals, or hey, maybe I didn't get as close to what I wanted to accomplish in those goals, so I need to create a different plan going into summer, right? It's a really good time to self-evaluate. But it also gives you final couple opportunities to show what you can do in front of the crowd at spring game to show coaches, hey, who I am in practice is also who I am when the lights are on, right? Because there's a big difference. Some guys are great in practice, and they get out there, and the lights are on, the stadium is full, and they either melt or they try and do too much, right? So there's this fine line of finishing up spring practice strong in the practice piece and then being able to carry that over if it's your first time, right? You're a young player, didn't play much last fall, or if you're just a completely like freshman, it's your first time. There's so much that goes into can you transfer practice skills and drills into game experience when the lights are on.
So I want to dive into all the things that we will be looking for in the spring game, but our last pod, we spent the entire time talking about the offense and breaking down the offense, and we promised we'd chat a little bit about the defense. So let's go position by position there, and like we did with the offense, and dive into what we've seen and our big takeaways that we so far that we've seen throughout spring. And we'll save, I know what you will say, save the best for last, so we'll save the defensive line for last. But let's start with the linebackers, because I feel like even though there's some depth there, there's still questions because the exit of Nick Henrich and Luke Reimer. And so I've heard a ton is John Bullock, that he's really stepped into that role. In fact, I spoke with Nick Henrich one of the scrimmage days, and he said, Johnny B, he is ready for it. He is ready for this moment. So it seems like John Bullock is really stepping into that leadership role for that room this year.
Yeah, and he showed great flashes last year with, you know, Reimer missing some time, Henrich missing some time. You know, he was right there in that mix of being a guy last year, and so I'm excited for him to take that next step. And your linebacker has to be the quarterback of your defense, right? You got to get the call in. You got to get everyone lined up. You got to be able to see things and run. And in this defense with Tony White's scheme, you're going to be asked to do a lot. Like moving, dropping into coverage, blitzing off the edge, blitzing in the A-gap. Like you have to be an extremely intelligent individual, not just a good player. And I'd love that Bullock has stepped right into that role, watching Reimer and watching Nick and seeing how they operated, not just on the football field, but in the meeting room, in the weight room, just how they continued to be leaders on that team. And for him to step right into that in a seamless transition, I think is going to bode really well. Another guy I'm excited is Javon Wright. You know, he's another guy that I think is going to be kind of in that hybrid linebacker role. You know, when he's in there, he had some flash plays last year too, but he's another guy that's long, can run, got good speed on the edges. He's another guy in that linebacker hybrid that I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, Buddha is a name that we've heard a lot. He's put on a lot of weight. But one thing that I was, you know, chatting with Nick about that it's different, and I guess, you know, again, I didn't play football, I'm not an expert, but he said going from the defensive back role to the linebacker, inside linebacker, it was a lot of it was his footwork. Like he had the ability to be physical and understood the game, but it was more so footwork. So can you take us into that and how that is different from going from a defensive back to an inside linebacker?
Yeah, you know, so much of a defensive back is you have a lot of space, right? You've got space to let things happen in front of you and then react. So much of a linebacker's footwork and stuff is immediate read and react. Right, you have keys as a linebacker, and they're different on certain plays, right? first down, your key may be, hey, my key's this guard. If he sets some pass protection, then I know I set back. If he pulls, I know I have to fill this gap. If he takes an inside zone step at the nose, then I know I have this gap. Right? So much is immediate reaction time and really trusting your eyes and trusting your instincts to shoot your gun and go. And, you know, Tony White talked about that last year. Like, I want a bunch of guys that are going to shoot their gun and go play free. But you have to do it under control and with good technique. And so making that transition, everything's just going to be sped up and just be faster, right? And you have to trust yourself because indecision as an inside linebacker is death, right? If you get caught in between, do I step here? Do I go here? How do I go? All of a sudden that 330-pound lineman's up on top of you covering it up and the running back's hitting at full speed behind him, right? So you have to be a very decisive player. And, you know, the spring's a good time to get queued up into that because it's just hard on the eyes, right? Physically, you might be able to do it, but training your eyes as a linebacker is so hard to do, and it's such a gift to be able to do. And so, I mean, the fact that he's taken strides in it this far is going to bode really well for him heading into the fall.
Another name there that jumped out, who was at the Colorado game, you were calling that game, Mekhi Bayer. You know, he was a name that with Nick was hurt, and then he came in and he provided some valuable depth in that rotation, especially with Luke and Nick, you know, Nick especially getting banged up throughout last season. But there's some depth there, and they've got some young players too that I keep hearing their names as well. So I think despite that position being one where you lose two really big name guys that have been part of your, this football program for forever. If this will be my first year without Nick and Luke, because they were starting in 2021 when I got here. But there's some depth there, and which, as we've seen, Tony White likes to play a lot of bodies.
Yeah, and depth is never a bad problem to have. But you also go on, and again, this is not a slight at Nick. I just did it at Nick and Luke. But I think with the young players and the guys we have, we're upgrading the athlete, right? And again, that's not a knock on them. Those guys were great players, but we've gotten more athletic at that position. And Mekhi Gaber is another one where I can remember calling that game, and Greg and I were looking at each other like, is that who we think it is? Like, yeah, I think that's really him, right? And so you get some guys that you can do a little bit more with the range that they can cover from sideline to sideline. And that's a great step for this defense because it's already chaotic and running things everywhere. But now if you can get to the A gap a step and a half sooner, or you can bluff in the A gap and know and trust, hey, that guy can push out to the flat with his athleticism and his range, that's going to allow Tony White to kind of create and be a little bit more disguisey with his guys instead of being like, hey, you know, he might not be able to get there, so we can't have him up on the ball, so we need him off the ball, right? And just allows him to do more things with some of the athletes that we have in that linebacker room.
Okay, so let's talk your second favorite position. Who's number one in your, I guess, dislike position, wide receivers or defensive backs?
DBs, always and forever DBs. They never stop talking. They're the littlest guys on the field with the biggest mouths.
Okay, well, let's talk defensive backs because they are, and as you mentioned a year ago at this time, you're like, I better get to like them and know them because there's a lot of them on the field for Tony White's defense. But that's a room loaded with guys, and you want to talk about a battle of competition. There's a lot of young guys, and there's some coming back. But let's just talk about the exits of Quentin Newsome and Omar Brown. Hopefully we'll hear their names called, or we'll find a team coming up this weekend. But who do you maybe look to maybe become that lockdown corner for the Huskers now that Quentin Newsome is no longer going to be wearing the N?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it has to be Tommy Hill, mm-hmm. right? Like that's got to be the guy that steps up in a major way. He's played a lot of football. He's had some good moments. He's had some really bad moments, but you can see the physical ability to become that guy. And a lot of it's between the ears and just trusting yourself, playing within the scheme, not allowing guys to get behind you. But, you know, I feel like he's a guy that everyone's going to be looking towards on the corner position of, hey, we want you to travel with this team's best receiver. Or, hey, we want you to be the blitzing guy because we know we trust you to get there. And just carve himself out a really nice role, whatever role that might be. And Tony White's going to sit down and go, what's your best skill set? Let's maximize that skill set so you can become the best player you can be, which then gives us the best chance to win on defense. But he's the guy that I'm going to have all eyes on and be like, can he take the next step in being that guy?
What is, I guess, for Coach Cooper with so many guys and a lot of young guys. I mean, what does it look like for him and the defense at this point now with spring coming to a close, trying to figure out how this thing looks? Because, again, because we see a lot of players that come in and play, and DeSean Singleton is another guy that isn't playing this spring but has proven himself and is a really big contributor to this. What?
He's my guy.
Yeah.
I like Singleton.
He's like your only defensive back I feel like you've ever really liked.
He's like the one DB that I put my stamp on and be like you, because he's not afraid to come up in the box and hit someone. Right? And we talked about it last year. If you're going to play DB in this system, you better be able to tackle. Like, you better be able to be up there and say, hey, me and you, A-gap, mano y mano, let's go. Right? And Singleton showed that to me time and time again last year. So, yeah, he's got the stamp. He's got the Searle stamp on him as being the guy back there in the safety position.
But he hasn't practiced this spring. They're being really cautious with him. And again, he's the guy that's proven himself. So how does that look like for Evan Cooper now with so many guys and so many talented guys, now that spring's closed, how you start figuring out how this thing's going to look moving into the fall?
Yeah, that's a great problem to have as a coach, right? A great problem to say, man, I got a lot of good dudes, and I know I can't put them all on the field at once, but it's going to breed really good competition in this room, right? When you're in a room that is uber talented and young guys and a mixer of veterans, everyone's hungry to get on the field. And that's great because everyone's going to push each other to be the best that they can be every single day. And the coaches love when you make it hard on them. Make it hard on who I have to say, you're the starter, you're the backup, right? That's the greatest problem in the world to have as a coach. And it also is going to bode because we need depth. Guys get hurt. Singleton got hurt last year, right? We saw it. He got dinged up. We needed someone to step in there. And so for Coach Cooper, he's just going to look at this room and start tiering and stacking guys out. Like, hey, leaving spring, here's where you are on the depth. Here's what you have to do to either keep your job as a starter, or here's what you have to do to beat out the starter if you're a backup. And you give your guys honest feedback. You tell them, just being very honest, here's where you stand. Here's what you need to do to get on the field on Saturdays. And then that room will take care of itself if you have the competition and the culture built of, we're playing the best guys. So either do what you need to do or don't. But that's going to depend on if you get on the field on Saturdays or not.
We can't move to the defensive line without mentioning Isaac Gifford, a guy that came back, is going to be, no doubt, he's a leader and understands this defense, and he's been coaching up guys every chance I've seen. Every time I've been out to practice, he's trying to bring guys along, and certainly believes in what was established last year. Felt like he had unfinished business, but what kind of luxury is that for Tony White to have a guy like Isaac Gifford who you can rely on to really be the glue out there?
Yeah, he's kind of what I referred to as JoJo Doman as the eraser, right? When you have a guy like that who can make things right when everything else has gone wrong. Like, I can't even count the number of times I remember watching JoJo make a tackle and going, if he doesn't make that tackle, that's probably 6 points, right? And that's the kind of guy Isaac Gifford needs to build into is, hey, we have a play call, and we called it, and we go, and they called the perfect play into this play call to beat it. And I need to be the guy that makes this right in the back end, right? Whether coming off my read or seeing it and reacting and pulling my trigger and going, like, he needs to be that guy for the Nebraska defense. And when you have a guy out on the field like that, it gives Tony White so much more freedom to be more aggressive with his play calling. And because Isaac's the guy that's going to watch the tape, be understanding, know his role, know what everyone else's role is, and have the ability to check the things that if he feels like, hey, I see something that I've seen, Tony White's going to trust him enough to be like, all right, get us to where we need to be. And if we don't get to where we need to be, you just fix it. And that's a great luxury to have. Not every team has that. We haven't had one in a while, but I can see him filling into that role really nicely this fall.
And again, there's a lot of names, and we will talk more extensively when we get into fall camp. But, you know, at this point, it's still a work in progress to see. So it would take us 2 hours to dive into the entire defensive backs room. There are so many of them out there.
So many.
So we will see how that continues to unfold, but those are just kind of the highlights back there in the back end. Let's move up front, and the defensive line, arguably the MVP of last year, how good they were, how dominant they were. And you think about, and you and I talked about this on Sports Nightly the other night, you think about this conversation we were having a year ago at this time, and we were doubting the kind of depth that was going to be up front for this defense. And, you know, a little bit later, when Terrence Knighton came on his show during the fall, and I said, man, you got a lot of guys, and there was a point where we didn't know if you're going to have the depth. He goes, oh, yeah, I kept receipts. But, you know, the fact that he was able to bring so many true freshmen along, and then the way that Nash took it up another level, and then you add a guy, and Ty Robinson, but it just, man, it was really impressive to see where we were a year ago to where we are now, where you're saying this could arguably be the deepest position on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, we had every right to be skeptical last year because when you're talking about names that have never played on a Saturday, I'm going to be nervous. Right? Just like our quarterback room, I'm nervous, right? Harburg's the only one that's played in a game in the Big Ten. Well, that's where we were sitting at for this D-line room last year. We were looking at it going, well, there's Nash and Ty.
And Riley Van Poppel wasn't even here, so it was basically Princeville and Cam Linhart.
We're like, who? What are we doing here? But like, it just speaks to Coach Knighton's ability to develop players. And as much as college coaching is about X's and O's and scheming, so much of it is about the personal development of your room. How can we get the best out of these guys? And he showed time and time again with Elijah Judy and Cam Linhart and Van Poppel and dudes just rolling in there that you're like, I don't know who this dude is. And then being productive, like not out there just surviving, but being productive and making game-changing plays and getting to the quarterback and disrupting in the run. Like those dudes played hard and he got the most out of all those guys. And now you say, okay, all those dudes last year that were kind of thrown into the fire have a year under their belt. How much more is there? How high is their ceiling? And Terrence Knighton has proven time and time he's going to get it out of them. And so I'm really excited about this D-line group. I mean, I went to a couple practices and saw them fired up and going and blowing. And I saw, Nash was upset that they weren't going to let him play every play. And like, that's the type of mentality you want to have of, hey, yeah, I know I'm a senior and I know I'm a vet here, but like, I want to be out there and I want to be playing. Like, that is just, that fired me up when I saw that going, because I was like, that's the kind of mentality that it's going to take every single one of these defensive linemen to have in order for us to have the success that we want to have.
We had a similar conversation when we were talking about the offense and the offensive line and some of those guys that you don't want to risk and that you don't need to go have a ton of reps here in the spring. Now you're looking at that for this defensive line, and I feel like that was a big part of Princeville and Cam, which they were already highly touted, and Terrence Knighton thought that they would be a big part anyways, but because they got so many opportunities in the spring, you know, again, same thing for the defensive line. It's got to be good to have those kinds of opportunities because you know what you got out of Nash and Ty, but let's build some even more additional depth to go along with some of that group of young players.
Yeah, spring's the ultimate development time. Ultimate development time, because you're not game planning. You're not preparing for, hey, do we have to keep their bodies fresh for Saturday? Like, it's grind central. I do not miss spring ball. Not in the smallest piece of me could you pay me to go do another spring ball, because it is tough, it is physical, and it is an absolute grind. But it's also where you make the biggest jumps as a player. Right? It's where you can really grind and push through things and go. And yeah, as an older guy, you don't need that beating on your body. You take that beating on your body 12 weeks in the fall. But when you're a young guy and you're still callousing up your body and finding out what it means to be a college football player, the spring's where you really cut your teeth. Right? You cut your teeth right there and you go. And so all those guys getting those meaningful reps, as hard as it was, as terrible as it was for them, like from a physical standpoint, it's going to pay huge dividends for this football team.
Okay, so I wanted to get your thoughts on this because last Saturday they had a scrimmage before and probably more maybe put out there than what we'll see coming up this Saturday in the spring game. But Coach Roll was saying how dominant the offense was, that it was the best performance in a scrimmage by offense since he's been here. They had 8, 9, 10, 12 touchdowns, I believe he said. He couldn't even count them. What do you make of that? And does it worry you at all that the defense gave up that many touchdowns?
You ever heard of a cattle prod, Jess? You know, where you just sit there and just keep poking the cow until it goes? That's essentially what that was to Matt Rhule's defense, right? That's him coming out and publicly praising. It's no secret. Matt Rhule's a defensive guy. And when you come out and you just publicly praise and you publicly put on the offense like that, rightfully so, they probably did hand it to him. But that's you checking your defense and being like, you want me to talk about this like you? Go do something. Like, you go make me talk about to the public about what you guys are doing and how smothering you are and how the offense couldn't move the draw and how they're dropping passes and they were rattled. Like, that's him just being the great manipulator. Manipulator is not the right word. Being the great motivator for this team and in the right way, right? Knowing when to press in on things, when to pull away from things, and understanding the heartbeat and the pulse of where your team's at and where they need to be pushed on a little bit more. So, you know, that for me, I heard that and I was like, oh, if I'm a defensive player, this week's going to be fun. If I'm an offensive player, I better strap up, right? Because you know the defense is coming, right? And that's a great way. When one side of the ball has success like that, you got to find a way to build the other side of the ball up in unique ways without just coming down on them and yelling at them. Like, there's different ways to motivate, and Matt Rhule does a great job at doing that.
He's playing chess. He's been playing chess.
That dude's playing backgammon, chess, whatever you want to do it, and everyone else out here is playing tic-tac-toe.
Oh, and, you know, he also did, too, mention that they're not taking down the quarterbacks, so some of them he was letting plays go that might have been sacks. And again, we've mentioned it, but Nash and Ty are not out there, and so your two best defensive players are not on the field.
Standard doesn't change, Jessica.
True, but I'm just saying it does, you know, change your defense a little bit when you've got...
I know.
So let's talk spring game, and being that you're not going to put everything out there, you're going to get... You don't have all your players out there... What is this coaching staff looking to accomplish during the spring game?
Yeah, so there's really a few things. One is operation, right? This is the first time you're going to have a game-like operation with more of a not controlled environment, right? A scrimmage is a controlled environment. There's no fans. There's no referees. There's no, hey, you get three downs, right? You're running scripted plays. Like, this is more, can these quarterbacks go out in a big-time environment with a lot more noise on the offensive side and run our offense proficiently, right? Not too many guys in the huddle, everyone getting the play called on the 40-second clock, not jumping off sides. Just pure operation is something you always want to see be clean in a spring game on that front. And then on the defensive side, you want to see, like, hey, how much can my guys do without me showing too much, right? You know this is a move offense, a move defense, guys running everywhere, but you don't want to show that stuff on tape, so you're putting a lot more onus on, hey, you got to win your one-on-one matchups, right? It's more of you going out and beating the guy across from you instead of me scheming a blitz open or me having the right play call. We want to just see you go out and dominate, right? So those are kind of the two things that, you know, I'm looking for. And then the other piece is ball security, right? Ball security is something that has haunted the Huskers forever, right? As long as I can remember, even when I played, it was something that was just like, we fumbled the ball a lot. But this is something that has to be addressed, and Rhule has addressed it. But to come out, and I would love to say no turnovers, but at the same time, I'm going to say the defense needs to get better taking the ball away, right? So it's just like double-edged sword of like, but I'm obviously going to lean towards the offensive side and say I would love to see no turnovers, no interceptions, no unforced errors on that front there. If a guy strips one out on a long run or in a pile, so be it. But, you know, not throwing interceptions, not putting balls in the dirt on exchanges, those type of things. Like, the spring game for me, I just want a dress rehearsal of clean operation. And if we can get that, then I'm all good.
Okay, so what will you be looking for out of the quarterbacks then? Because, again, here we are. We're in the middle of a quarterback battle, we're not going to have a starter. It's going to go into fall camp. But so can somebody separate themselves during this time, or is it what it is, and this is what we're looking for type of thing out of the quarterbacks?
Yeah, no one's winning the job in the spring game.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're going into the spring game, and you're just trying to showcase the best of your ability to run the offense. And because it's hard, there's so many other factors in a game that it's hard to evaluate the quarterback in the spring game, right? Are you used to working with this group, or are you taking snaps with this center, or have you been thrown to this receiver, right? Things just get jumbled in a spring game. It's hard to evaluate a quarterback in that front, but you can evaluate the alpha of the group of, hey, who commanded the best presence? Who had the best cadence? Who had the best pace in and out of the huddle? Like, who had that captain of the ship feeling when we went in and when we came out of the spring game? And that's something you can tell, but it's more hard to evaluate the playing side of it than the commanding and presence part of it.
All right, who scores the first touchdown?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Harburg. I think Harburg gets the first touchdown on a run, on a zone keep or a zone read or a scramble once they get into the red zone. I'm going to go with Harburg.
There always seems to be a star, a name that emerges that
always
gets the opportunity here on this day, but I'm going to go with Emmett Johnson. I think he is going to get one of those first touches that gets into the end zone. But I also wanted to bring him up because did you see his press conference today? Actually, the running backs met with the media, and he answered all of his questions, which he's a fantastic interview. He is one of the best interviews on campus, any sport, and he wants to maybe get into broadcasting one day. And so he is really, really a great communicator. He's an incredible interview. And at the end of his press conference, they said, okay, thank you. And he said, I just have one more thing to say. I saw the news about Greg Sharp, the longtime play-by-play radio guy, and I just wanted him to know that I'm fighting with him and for him, and I'm praying for him. I hope all of Husker Nation is too. If Emmitt Johnson wasn't already our favorite, he just shot up to the top of the list.
Straight, I'm getting a 21 jersey. I'm getting a jersey. That's so cool, and it just goes back to show that, you know, the Huskers are a family. From the radio staff to the equipment people to the players, like, it's one giant family and we're all in this thing together. And yeah, I did see a quote on Twitter about that, and you know, it made me a little teary-eyed, but it just also shows how much Greg means to everyone, and it shows how much this team's going to rally behind him too.
All right, let's get those 21 jerseys ordered. I think Greg would probably take one too.
Sign me up, baby. Pick that one in the back too. You got a 20 on the back there, I see. Get a 21. Let's get a 21 jersey back.
All right, let's trade that out. All right, appreciate your time, and we will circle back and give a full spring game breakdown coming up next week. So we will be back. We're not going to keep you waiting long. We'll give you all the breakdowns, all of our thoughts and takeaways from the annual Red and White spring game. And again, you can still get your tickets. There are still some available. Great prices coming up. Should be great weather as well, which we don't normally, sometimes don't always have here for the spring game. But Huskers.com/tickets if you want to get a hold of those and get on out to see your first chance to see this team in action. All right. For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootey. This has been the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers.
Go Big Red.